Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and
good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglia's EDL radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. East Anglia's EDL radio show, the official English Defence League's radio station, and the EDL, the official voice of the EDL, the show, should I say. And tonight, I've just looked at it, it's just made me chuckle. We've got our very own Amazon woman. That's that very own Kel, the Red Fox Blogger herself. Kel, good to see you this evening.
Hi, Jeff. Good evening. Hi, Jeff and Tommy.
And of course,
yes,
we've got
I'm
our
Tommy English, also known as Tommy English.
And also Mr. Tommy English, known as Tommy English.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Right. It's good to see you both this evening. And I've just noticed we also got Sue from New Mexico is listening on a device set. So it's good to see you, Sue. And that looks like the chat room's building very well this evening, isn't it, guys? So there you go.
Well,
sure,
no,
I can't
see it.
Oh, you can't see it? Oh, well, I'm not in the chat room. I just had a quick look, and it looked like we were building very nice. So you can see it okay, can't you, Kel? It's building okay, isn't it? Yeah, looks a bit.
Yeah, I'm here. Let me take a looky. It does seem to be building. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's building up very nicely.
I did see Luchadora. It's popped out. I call her Luchi. She calls me Jeffy. It's always good to see some good difference there. But as
I'd also like to
thank
Vito Esposito, if he's in there, for having me on his show the other night.
Hey?
I would also like to thank Vito Esposito when he comes in for having me on his show the other night. Or should I say the other morning? Or should I say the other morning?
Yes, it was. You was on quite late, wasn't you, Tom? I know, because I was listening to you. I didn't actually call him, but I was listening, and... It was a very interesting conversation that you had with Vito, very much in filling in a few details of different things that's going on over here as well. But as I say, we've got some things that we'll be discussing tonight. I did, just before we come to air, I have a little message I spoke to Ivan on the phone actually just before I come. We went live and that, and I've got something I must read out. Got a few things we want to talk about tonight, but this is I'm going to read out, and this is associated with what went on at the Birmingham demonstration, right? And this is the message that Ivan sent me and asked me to read on the air tonight. So this is what he said: just being contacted by the Northwest admin, that's the Northwest English Defence League's admin, to let me know that a Northwest lad was raided and arrested for the Birmingham demo trouble. He was told that all the pictures of people unknown will be put in local papers and that further raids will be carried out. If any of your lads and lasses were involved in the trouble at Birmingham, then please warn them they are likely to be raided, arrested. Best not to stick it on Facebook, as doubtless the old Bill will be watching. So I'll just repeat that once again, if anybody's just coming into the chat room, that Ivan's been informed, been contacted by the Northwest admin, that one of the lads was raided and arrested for the Birmingham demo trouble. He was told that all pictures of people unknown will be put in local papers, that further raids will be carried out. If any of your... If your lads and lasses were involved in the trouble at Birmingham, then please tell them to keep it off of Facebook, because the old Bill will be watching. So,
God's sake.
Anyway,
let's define trouble. Should we also define the trouble that the fact that the UEFA tried to charge us six times?
Well, it's quite obvious that you know the way things work, Tom. We all know that they throw bricks, bottles, and it's people may be responding, throwing a couple of things back. That's where all the pictures come, because they got their photographers, they're taking pictures, and a little bit later down the line, people will be arrested for it and this, that, and the other. You know the way it works, Tom, and like most people, who knows, being part of the English Defence League. There's a two-tier system at work where we're involved because we are patriots. We love our country, and these little scumbags who just would rather bring about anarchy in our country are the ones who cause all the trouble. And, of course, you know, it's always us who seem to take the brunt of, any criminal things that be brought to the courts. It's a normal thing that I think most of us now, you know, we take it that this is just the way that things are, that, you know, that this is just it. But it will not derail us with what we've been doing. And, you know, all it does is strengthen people's resolve, that they, you know, you're doing a good job when you're getting
raided, guys, make sure you let them know when you're getting interrogated that you're not going to speak without your duty solicitor. And to be honest, if they start interrogating you on any trouble that you have caused, it's all self-defense. Even the video that was put out there on BBC News seeing us getting attacked, that's something you can use as your defense. You've got videos out there on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter that are your defense when you see UAF charging you, throwing bricks, bottles and the fireworks at us. And are they getting raided? Are they getting raided for that? I mean, a firework is an offensive weapon.
Of course it is. You know, it's very dangerous.
Oh,
yes,
dear.
I know fireworks can be dangerous, Tommy.
He's
gone quiet. Hey, did you hear? Oh, good evening. I see you sleek through the cat flap this evening, Tim.
Yeah,
I was trying
to slink into the studio quietly, but the little bell on the collar around my neck gave it away.
Yeah, it don't work. It works too well. That's the trouble. It's not just a little bell, ladies and gentlemen. It's a dirty, great big one. So it goes ding, 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 like that, like a bloody fire engine coming through.
One story to mention on the show, so something that might give you a bit of a giggle.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Kel.
And just to let you know, Tim, I found a new YouTube video of a fat cat getting through the cat flap.
Oh, here you go, Tim.
Oh, that's what the world needs, another video of a fat cat trying to get through a cat flap. All right, then. Just send it to me along with all the others.
you love them, Tim. You know you do.
Well, I lap them up, don't I? I lap them up.
Yeah, I'll get him. The pun there. I lap them up. It's good to see you anyway, Tim. Tim, I'm going to say it live, because I've been trying to get in touch. I wanted to get in touch with you just to say that we need to have a conference call, yourself, and me and Ivan, discuss some things. If we can set it up one evening... and I can always give Ivan a call and we can set a conference call up. Ladies and gentlemen, I do apologise, but sometimes Tim, see, he does his cat thing. He sneaks off and we can't find him. He has a night on the tiles and, you know, it's terrible.
Yes, the cat crept into the studio and crept out. Yes, okay then. No problem, Jeff. We'll set something up. I mean, just send me, I don't know, a text or an email or something like that, and we'll set half an hour aside and we'll do something. Yep, okay. Thanks for letting me know.
No, I thought I'd do it live because sometimes, you know, after show we might miss each other, so I thought I've been in discussions, was talking to Ivan about things that we've all been talking about. We can do that. Anyway, I thought I'd give you a big heads up on that.
There is something I would like to say out on the air. I've got a text out from my great granddad's carer. Your granddad's listening to radio show, having a bit of a giggle at that host singing at the start of the show, lol.
That was me.
If there should be a guest in the room, I don't know, but I don't know if he's been in the camp actually. But yeah, hi, granddad. Hope you got home okay.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, all that best from us to you. So, I didn't know that people could hear me singing. I thought the music goes over the top of me, it's my singing. So.
No, we could hear you.
I could hear you the last program when I was playing it in archive just to make sure that everything technically went well and I didn't have to take the episode to Audacity. I was listening. And I kept hearing this feedback, So what is that? What is that? What am I going to do with this? And then it dawned on me, oh, my God, that's just singing in the background.
Yeah. All you could hear was it over the... Basically, it was a bit out of sync. So it's like the song had one bit, then you had Jeff in the background. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell.
Oh, and Tommy and Till. Tommy and Tim, this is the funniest part. It's because we're on a 3-second delay. When the song was playing, Jeff was chiming in 3 seconds behind the lyrics.
So guys, it was like this. If you didn't listen to the start of the show, it went like this. I'm proud to be an Englishman.
1, 2, 3, Englishman. Well, at least I know I'm free.
Proud to
well,
be
at least
an Englishman.
I know I'm free.
We'll be free.
It was funny.
Oh, what you like, eh? What you,
oh,
like.
What you like.
What we like.
What you
well,
like.
Well, you know me. You know, Tim knows me. I love singing anyway, and I love that tune.
Yeah.
It spurs me on before we do the show. You know, when you sing.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's
the important thing. You know, we want a motivated host. A happy Jeff is a happy show. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
You're right there, Tim.
That song playing while he's making love.
Oh, we can do that very slowly these days. Anyway.
We haven't got to the 9 o'clock watershed yet, so none of that. This
no,
is
not
a
quite.
Show.
Not quite. But what I've got to do...
You've
got to
be
up
for 9 o'clock.
But what I want, as I say, there's a few things that we want to discuss tonight, and this is something that that Ivan sent me. It says here, police investigated 54 separate Pakistani rape gangs. Okay, and
oh, not Asian.
Sorry,
not Asian. It's Pakistani now.
Well. This is the words that it's from.
That sounds a little racist to me. Who's
anyway, they're calling it what we all know it is. Okay, we know it's Pakistani Muslims who are doing most of these grooming and raping of young girls. Anyway, and it goes on to say police are investigating 54, and that's just this word also gets to me, alleged gangs in a
alleged
crackdown on child grooming in England and Wales, peers averred. The figure was cited by former Labour Attorney General Lord Morris Aberfan at question time in the Lords. He said inquiries involved 27 police forces as he urged greater cooperation between agencies after the convictions of a sex abuse ring in the Oxford area. Home Office Minister Lord Taylor of Holbeach said the problem was a focus for the government. 7 men are awaiting sentencing at the Old Bailey for their roles in the Oxford case, which followed trials dealing with similar gangs in Telford and Rochdale last year, and in Derby in November 2010. While those cases involved mainly defendants of British Pakistani origin and white British female victims, a report from the Children's Commissioner of England has stated that abusers cover all ethnic groups and so do their victims. Quite obvious trying to, you know, cover over that sort of thing, that little comment there. But raising the spate of recent convictions, Lord Morris said it is collective amnesia that has blinded us to the underlying circumstances whereby at least 27 police forces are investigating 54 alleged child grooming gangs. Why is investigating and prosecuting in so many different parts of the country taking so much time? He goes on to say, is it the fear of racialism or is it the fact that many of the vulnerable girls come from care homes? So there you go.
That second one's appalling. Oh, because they come from care homes. That's just them trying to get the spotlight on the girls now and take it off them.
Well, if they come from care, it doesn't matter where these girls, they, you know, come from, whatever the circumstances may be, it doesn't mean that these people should be allowed to prey on vulnerable girls who maybe have come from something, you know, been a bit ghastly in their lives. Why should they be, be slurred? Because most of these are young kids, aren't they, Tom? You know, that's the way I look at it. They're young kids, they're vulnerable.
The thing is that we must always remember is that last year in Sweden, there were, I think it was about 300 girls and 700 women in Sweden that got raped in the space of 7 months. Now the amount of rates we get in this country is double that in the space of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tommy. And it's just say, ladies and gentlemen, anybody that tunes into the show will know that we've often gone over certain things before about these. We don't call them grooming gangs as such. We call them Islamic. What do we call them?
Islamic slavery gangs.
That's
pedophile
correct.
Gangs. Yeah.
This is what they've been doing for centuries, isn't it? Islamic slavery, you know, that they sort of induce these poor kids, like, give them drugs and sweets and that, and then before they know it, they're being used and abused, and it's an absolutely horrific art. It does make my stomach churn. It makes me so bloody angry. It really does. These people, I don't care what background, where they come from, who they are, but they should have the key thrown away. They should just be put in a cell and forgot about, not to be seen the light of day ever again. And the trouble is that we're too lenient with these people. We really are. Time that we really made justice be, you know, that they're going to quiver when they think, if they do anything like that, this is what's going to happen to you. You know what I mean? Because it's too... They don't really care, do they? They don't care. They know they'll be out in a while. God knows what they'll be doing once they've been released. I know some of the cases, some of these people will be, so we hear that they will be probably kicked out of the country. But it's very hard, as we all know, how hard it is to kick these people out. You know, we've seen cases where it's took them years to kick people out, haven't they? So it just goes to show you. But anyway, maybe we can elaborate a little bit on that. I know Kel's got a story that we talked about a while ago, and we thought we would we'd go back to a story that we spoke about on the show before. So that's just a few things. And guys, if you want to call in, you know, to discuss any of the issues that we discuss on the show, please do. If you're a Skype user and a Blog Talk Radio, which is free. It's free to set up. Get yourself a nickname and join in and come in the chat room and be a part of a lot of our people that's in the chat room. But if you hooked up to Skype and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, if you left click, there's an S button. It doesn't stand for Superman. It means Skype. I can't help it. What resist that? If you left click on that, if you follow the prompts, and when it says, do you want to speak to the host or do you want to listen to the show, then press 1 on your device. And if you're not, if you haven't got any of those devices and you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. Repeat, 001-858-777-5934. So there you go. So please do, because we welcome all calls, apart from the abusive ones and the rude ones.
And the death threats.
And the death threats.
No, I think I would welcome the death threats on the air. It just shows the mindset of the people who are just so anti-EDL. This EDL phobia will not be tolerated. This horrible phobia that seems to be growing in today's society.
quite so.
Yeah, well,
hey, just to let you know, Jeff, that you have a caller if you want to take him before we delve into the topic that we're going to discuss. And, of course, that's the follow-up that Jeff is referring to, and that involves Naomi Oni, who is acid tested there a little while back. We have quite a development on that, and Jeff has quite his take on it as well. But Jeff, I was wondering, Derek Cooper 12 is waiting on the line. Did you want to take his call before we... Okay.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely great. Okay. Derek, welcome to the East Angus EDL radio show. You are live. Go ahead. Good to have you here.
East Angus. I thought you were EDL, English Defence League, no?
We are the EDL, but the radio show is the East Angus EDL radio show, but we're very much affiliated.
Ah, okay, so I've got to the workplace then. So, what's your thoughts thoughts on the Romanian invasion?
The Romanian, well, not just the Romanians, is it, but the Bulgarians. Well, what was our feelings on it? Well, we know it's wrong.
The EDL's view.
I've just seen on the news that the European Union is now just allowed. I know the Swiss were, and we are. You know, like, they can come here without a visa, without without a passport. And I've now also just seen on the news that Romanians can come here as well. So are we for a great flood, a biblical flood?
I think that's a very good point there, Derek. And what can we say? I think none of us are happy with what's going on. But who do we blame it on to? Being signed up to the European Treaty, that's the problem. That's the reason why we see the floodgates opening up once again. As we know, we're still in a recession in this country, and they're still inviting people in. And it's just sometimes you think, you know, there's got to be a stop to this madness. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I know it's wrong. And most people who sit here, I know Tim and Tommy, and we all think it's so wrong the way they're done. Because I'd have told the Europeans to stick it. No, we've got enough people as we got at the moment. We
this
can't
island will
it's
sing.
New homes and that. The thing about it is sheltering them, it's giving them homes, and there's a lot of people who struggle on the housing list, as you know, Derek. It's hard going. And then these people now, God knows how it's going to be for the young people, you know, the up-and-coming young people getting married and that sort of thing, looking for, you know, a council home or something like that. I think it's probably about 10, 12 years down the line because where it's going with the Romanians and the Bulgarians coming. I think it's crazy, to be honest with you, bro.
I've also heard that the Parliament is now put, you know, they're starting to do something. The Parliament is now put down that if you're not a member of the European Union in this country or identified as one, then you can't just come here and automatically claim benefits off the
wrong.
British people's tax. What they're doing now is that they have to do, I'm not sure, but I saw something on the news about it. Can you clarify from...
Well,
can I clarify?
It's happening.
Well,
Tim,
can you clarify? Because, as I say, I haven't seen the news today as such, because I've been very busy I haven't had a chance to.
They need to do something. They can't just come here and automatically claim benefits, especially the NHS, because the NHS has been overpowered. The National Health Service is being hammered by Asians and everyone else. So now what they're saying is that if you are from Asian origin, then they need to fill out a form. Like me and you, like the blokes and the gals that have been born in this country, which are lucky enough to be born in this country, what we're doing is now is that if they are coming in from another country and they've got one eye that's hanging out, then they need to fill out a form before we will see them. Before we will fix it, it's all about the NHS, which is absolutely being fucking hammered.
Well, it's under pressure, isn't it? I would agree with you, Derek. It is a very worrying thing, as we know. There was a thing that came out a while ago from one of the heads of the NHS saying that, you know, we are under pressure, and I think everybody was concerned about this influx of the Bulgarians, the Romanians coming over to the country as well. And God knows what's going to happen. That's all I say. It's very, very worrying, and I don't know how it's going to be sorted out or resolved. I would just say, we're not going to go against what the treaty says. We're going to shut the gates. We can't afford to have anybody else in the country, or just very, very minimum. Because they signed up the treaty, I'd rip the treaty up. But be quite honest with you, don't my own view, I'd rip it up. I say that's enough. Our country's under pressure as it is.
You might rip it up, brother, but at the same time, if you ever go to the hospital and like say, like, I don't know, you've been out with your mates on the piss, you've been out, you fell over, you banged your head.
Oh yeah, that's just.
You go to the NHS. Who are you going to see? You're not going to see a Jason Smith. You're going to see a Rashahid Jamam Ham Patel. You know,
You're going to see a Dr. Ahmed Mohammed who's just been in the country about a couple of months and just chucked a pair of
football at you. They're employing them. They're the people that will fix you up. I mean, is that something else we need to address?
I agree, totally.
Do you need to? I agree.
But, I mean, this is the things that we talk about, Derek. I don't know about you guys, but it's really good to have Derek come in and, sort of states of facts, like something that we can really get a teeth into. That's why we got a panel here, Derek, like some people a bit more up to speed on some of the news things that's, as I say, I always look towards Tim or Tommy. For something that
well,
I might have missed myself.
You have to remember, guys, that Gordon Brown did call my generation the forgotten one because of things like immigration and housing and unemployment and things like that. And he even said in 2009 that he can't do nothing for my generation.
Which is it's a travesty, isn't it? It's wrong.
Yeah. Pardon me. Yeah, I'm just...
You know
you've
got to do that, mate.
What Derek is saying... Derek, oh my goodness, what you're saying, my goodness. I was actually perusing the dailies this morning, and I came across this article, and the headline is, Now the Romanians Arrive on C4's Benefit Street. And this is I believe it's Channel 4. And they're all over the place. They're at St. James Turner Street. And Tim, that is in Birmingham. And
yeah.
James Turner Street. And they are ransacking the bins and everything, looking for scrap metal to sell. And they're coming mm-hmm. over with their child brides. There is one Romanian named Alex, who has a 15-year-old wife that he brought over with him. And that's both illegal in Romania and in the UK. Here we go.
Mm. It's a big problem, guys. It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the politicians realised that they'd bitten off more than they could chew some years ago. But they didn't want to take any concrete steps to put it right, because that would actually mean doing something constructive. And our government isn't here to do things in a constructive fashion. Our government is just here as time servers until they can grab their pension and retire to somewhere nice and sunny where they can leave the problems for the rest of us to clear up. Now, I've not seen the news on this specific topic today, but what I can say is I did hear the news about the NHS requiring immigrants to fill in a form before they get emergency treatment, and my immediate reaction was, well, that's never going to happen, because like Derek was saying, if somebody turns up to the accident and emergency and they've got half their head missing or something like that, no doctor, no nurse is going to wait for a form to be filled in if there's somebody that needs emergency treatment. You just go ahead and do it, because that's what our doctors and nurses are like. They are people first.
Yes,
and administrations, well, they are, and all credit to them. That is the way you would want. That's the way you would want the service to be. If I were to turn up with an accident and emergency, and people wouldn't treat me because I looked slightly foreign. For example, I mean, I'm making light of it. I shouldn't really, but the point is that I know that they would take care of me, and they would ask me questions about the administrative side of things later. But the fact that the politicians have said, well, this is the way it's going to work, is just another indication of how much they are prepared to lie to the British people about what is actually going to happen, because that is never going to happen in reality. Doctors and nurses will treat you first and worry about the administration second. And, of course, if somebody's here from a foreign land and they need treatment, and maybe it's very expensive treatment, maybe they run up a bill of £100,000, which they could do so quite easily. By the time they get round to asking them about the administrative paperwork, if they hop on a bus and they're never seen again, well, who's going to pick up the bill? And the answer is the good old British taxpayer, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. But the politicians have decided to say that it's going to be taken care of, because they think that will at least delay the violent revolution that is going to happen when people just eventually get fed up with the whole scenario, because they are not doing anything constructive in order to mollify the situation whatsoever. And even if you were to say, all right, the Romanians and Bulgarians and so on that are coming over here, maybe they won't be eligible for benefits for a period of time. Well, what are they going to do if they don't get benefits but they're still allowed to come over here and they don't have jobs? They will be on the streets making a nuisance of themselves even more if they haven't got any housing, if they haven't got any, I don't know, goat seekers allowance or whatever it is they're looking for when
goat
they come over.
Goat seekers allowance!
Yeah, I thought I'd throw that one in. But
you said it's derogatory there, Tim. You know they'll be all over you tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. But the point is that if we don't give them the benefits, they're still going to be here. They're still going to be on our streets. They're still going to be rummaging through our bins. They're still going to be pickpocketing and partaking of all sorts of antisocial activities in order to get enough money to live. You know, and if it means knocking little old English ladies over the head to steal their handbag, I'm sure not specifically pointing at Romanians and Bulgarians, but I'm sure there will be plenty of people who will do that if they're denied benefits. It seems absolutely crazy that you would bring people into this country and say, yeah, you can come in, but we're not going to give you any money, any housing. Your chances of a job are virtually nil. If we catch you working on the black market, you know, you'll be slapped on the wrist or whatever. The incentive for them to resort to criminal activity and antisocial activity is going to be sky high. And the sensible thing would have been to say, well, let's hold off for a year at a time, perhaps until we feel we can make the appropriate arrangements for people to come in and support themselves. But if they come over here and they can't support themselves, that is a recipe for disaster. And I don't care what the politicians say about there's only going to be a trickle of immigrants coming over from Romania and Bulgaria. They might well say that in order to try and allay our fears, but I bet that even now there will be busloads of them heading this way and all prepared to do exactly the things that I was describing as soon as they get in the country. If they can't get any benefits, they'll be on the streets making trouble for everybody.
I'll tell you what is a recipe of disaster, right? Look for history. In 1942... Right, in 1942, there was 2.2 billion humans on the whole planet. On the whole planet, and that's 1942, there was 2.2. In 2014, there is now over 7 billion humans on the planet. Now, that's a problem. That's a problem. It's got nothing to do with who can do what.
Population explosion, isn't it?
It's a massive explosion. Now, what we need is either a bloody good war, or some licensing on, you know what the Chinese have done, some licensing on childbirth, because that is a hell of a lot.
Well, I think that's a good point, and whether a law could be brought in. We put it this way, a law could be brought in with a sterner government, more people, you know, with what we've got at the moment, that's never going to happen. With the Conservatives, with the Labour, with the Liberals, we're never going to have it. We need a whole new perspective on politics, so as that sort of a thing could be brought forward. But, as I say, it needs people to a big shake-up with people in the way that they vote. It's down to the people in the end. If people want the same old, instead of sitting around at a pub or at a table in a pub and having a moan about it, they want to seriously think about voting for politicians who speak on our behalf, who would do the right things to protect the people of our country and our nations, to stop this total Orwellian times that we live in. That's what it needs, and all the time we've got these politicians, we're going to have the same old. We're going to be talking about this next year.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, these lot of his power.
And when I say yep, that means that I'm stealing the mic.
Go ahead,
what Derek is saying, and that it's so exactly true, that there are comments from the chat room saying, well, at least they're Christians and they're not Muslims, and I mean, that's one of God's graces. But all the same, they are going to be a total drain on the society within the UK. And there is a documentary that will be coming out shortly, and this is called Birmingham's Benefit Streets. And I have a 40-second clip here, Jeff, that I think that will contribute to the conversation greatly.
I think so.
Here we go.
Yeah, so we'll just go for this quick, this little short sound bite, guys, and then we'll be right back. Go ahead, Kel.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
James Turner Street was one of the best streets you could ever find.
No, one of the worst.
Three-quarters of the residents on this Birmingham street are claiming benefits.
Welcome to the no-job world.
And with ever-increasing cutbacks...
And I've come to the stage where everyone's living in poverty.
Life is getting more unpredictable every day.
Or what it's like when you've got your left hand and you have to choose whether you buy toilet roll or sugar.
No. People have to do what they have to do to exist.
Ever give me money to get a car?
I'm going
to
get you 50p.
No, that's on me, that is.
Hello, can you go?
Channel 4 shows what life is really like for the residents of Benefits Street. A new series starts tomorrow at 9 on 4.
I love the West Midlands.
So there you go,
then.
Jeff.
Yeah,
and
thank
so,
you,
yeah, that will
and,
be on Channel
that,
4
that,
starting tomorrow
to
night.
What we've been discussing. Thank you very much. That's on Channel 4 tomorrow, isn't it, Kel? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to it, and, yeah, please watch that. That's, it should be very interesting. And what we're discussing tonight, really, that would be like what we've been talking about this moment. So, I mean, we're all concerned. It's what everybody's talking about. It's just this craziness that's going on, and something does need to be sorted out. And it just seems a shame that it looks like down the lines there's going to be some serious civil unrest in this country. You know it, ladies and gentlemen. We all know it. We can feel it. We know that when people come dissatisfied with politicians, their politics and everything, that there is going to be some trouble down the lines, whether they like it or not. And they should be doing something now to stop that feeling, which in most of us, we can feel it, that something's going to happen and it's going to kick off big. And I don't think they'll lose total control of it. They will, and they'll probably be flying out of the country and leave us all to get on with it. But I don't know, that's just me. Maybe I'm a little bit pessimistic, but I do feel... It's very serious now that we're coming to, you know, this is an historic moment now. I think we stand at a precipice of something that none of us know exactly a way that it's going to go. I just hope and I pray that common sense does prevail and that maybe someone to take the bull by the horns and do something constructive and positive with this situation, this growing situation that's looming on us every day. So... my thoughts from the panel and maybe Derek and anybody else on what I first...
I'll say something if I can.
go on, Tom.
Yeah, okay. What we have to remember, guys, is that those who are coming here, I think it's about my looking that we're getting 11% of the Bulgarians in Hull. And on where this morning we were actually discussing it, and what I said to them, what you have to remember is that when they come here, there's going to be about 20, 25 living in a two-bedroomed house. And then basically during the day, I will walk to work, and every time I go down one street, there'll be my face shouting, big issue. You know, because that's what... I mean, Jeff, Tim, and what's the guy's name, I forget?
Derek.
I think you'll find that when you see most people who do sell Big Issue are all Eastern European, and they've got iPhones. Now, I work 40 hours a week, and I can barely pay for my phone contract.
Yeah, that just goes to show you something. I was talking to a couple of my friends today about, and that's what they were saying, that, you know, they're supposed to be getting welfare benefits and all that, and they got bleeding iPhones, and the kids have got iPads and things like that, and they're still wanting more money.
A few months ago about those Romanian gypsies living on that estate in Sheffield? The 13-year-old got frigging knives and a gun for Christmas.
Yeah, it's just... as I say, we live in crazy times, Tommy. We really don't. Worrying times, I would say, more
you know
worrying.
What? Church has not stood for this now. I bet he's turning in his grave.
Yeah. Well, what can we say? You know, we're here. The thing is that we're here. The EDL's here. We know how serious the problems are, and you know we know with the with what we was talking about when I went out in the show about those rape gangs going on. How many years have we been talking about highlighting that issue, Tom? How many years? What is it? 5 years now? Getting on for?
Well,
five
yeah,
years?
We've been highlighting it 5 years, but they say it's been going on for about 40, 50 years, don't they?
Yeah. And that's it. And we'll continue. You know, as I say, this will always be a talking point because we've still got these stories coming out all the time. It's, you know, new stories. There's new ones. And, of course, as I say, at this moment in time, 54 more of these rapist gangs that police are investigating from 27 regions around the country. This is just... We said, going back a while ago, this was just the tip of the iceberg. Now we're seeing some of the iceberg rising to the surface, aren't we? And are we surprised? No, we're not, because it was kept from the public for such a long time. How many years? I remember Jack Straw saying, this has been going up about 20 years, and people were too scared to say anything because it's been classed as racist, like racial overtones, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? You know, when it comes to, you know, vulnerable kiddies and being called a racist, trying to look after and make sure that they're okay, well, bugger being called a racist. Then be a racist, baby. We look after our kids and that. And, when things like that happen, we are going to go and demonstrate and speak out because, we're speaking on behalf of a lot of innocent kiddies out there. There's a lot of them that you don't hear about, do you? We know it happened. We know it's happening. It's probably kids that are involved in something like that right now. As we talk, have been plied with drugs and that by these Muslim Pakistani gangs, you know, and it's a total disgrace and about time the police really got hold of it. And these people, the law should really come down hard on them. I'm getting very angry. You know, I'm going to smack my desk in a minute, Tom. I'm so angry.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking, Tim, is it in the Quran that take whom your right hand possesses? Is that the
right
there? Yeah, there is a verse in the Quran that refers to that. I haven't got the number to hand.
I'll just grab it's the Quran, actually. Isn't it? I'll just grab
I think it might be 223, I think.
Hang on, let me get to that page. I'll just have a quick flick through now.
Tommy's got his Quran in front of him. Okay, try chapter 2, verse 223. But if it isn't that, I apologise because that's just off the top of my head. But I think that refers to what your right hand possesses.
Yeah,
chapter 2, verse 23.
That's right. And not forgetting that their so-called prophet, they call him a prophet. We know he was just a total, jockey, a sand jockey.
I read the hadith and the sickness of Muhammad was apparent to me. He justified perversion in the name of Allah when he married a girl too young for a bra. She was playing with dolls.
Oh, no, tune about that.
Game. Her childhood was stolen in Allah's name. Aisha was 9 when he took her to bed. No child molester, sex offender, proper pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester. Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me. That's my
Islam's not for me. There you go. But yeah, not forgetting, he actually, their so-called prophet justified raping of slave girls as well. There was a verse where a couple of them come up to him and said, look, we're raping these women. Do we perform coitus interruptus? If you're not, I mean, I'm not going to go into no graphic these hours. It means withdrawing, ladies and gentlemen. Just to graphical.
What we're talking about, Tim, it wasn't that one. It's
no, chapter, no, that, chapter that one. 20, that one refers. Yeah, 223 refers to your wife rather than the captains, the captives whom your right hands possess.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I've
got that one up now because it's chapter 4, verse 24, also forbidding our women.
It actually occurs several.
Oh, yeah, it does occur
several times, but 223 is one of them.
Yes, it says here now, also forbidden are women already married except those whom your right hand possesses. Thus has Allah obtained for you.
Yep.
All others are lawful, provided you seek them for your property, desiring chastity, not fornication. So with those among them whom you have enjoyed, give them their required due. But if you agree mutually after the requirement has been determined, there is no sin on you. So basically what that means, you can take any girl what you can have.
Yep. Yeah, what your right hand possesses.
Basically, any girl you want, as long as she's not married.
And that is it. And this is. I mean, we have spoke about this as well before. But it's to say, but also, I mean, he actually that when these guys went up and they were saying, "Did we perform coitus interruptus?" And he said, "Well, you don't have to. Don't worry about it." So, because he was in the middle of raping one of the young girls himself, you see, or these young women himself. So he said, no, just carry on. So what he done is he ordained that raping was okay. It's okay, just go ahead and do it. That's why you'll never see the word rape in any of her deeds, anything like that. We're never right about rape. And that is the reason why, because Muhammad said it was okay. Go ahead, do what you do. I'm doing it, you do it.
Muhammad's the perfect man who every Muslim has to be. They have to be Muhammad.
Yeah. So they're all potential rapists then, aren't they, if that's the case?
Well,
they want to
basically the fascist pedophile warmongers.
Yes, and of course, what you've got to remember is it isn't just rape that's the issue here. It's the issue of slavery. What your right hands possess refers specifically to slavery rather than just a wife with whom you can have relations. I do apologise for giving you that wrong Quranic
marriages when they perform a ritual, don't they, to have sex? Don't they, Tim? It's called
a
Muslim marriage where they can... Yeah,
sorry,
they call it a mutter marriage.
I can't remember if that's the right
Nikah?
Term. Nikumutah, I think, or Mutah Nikah. I can't remember. It's a combination of those two words, but that's effectively legalized prostitution under Islamic law.
Yes.
Yes.
I divorce thee, and then they can go on their merry way and go back to their wives and do whatever they do and continue on to someone else.
I don't think you actually need, if somebody knows different, please tell me, but I don't think you need to pronounce the talak for a mutah nikah marriage, because it's a pre-arranged marriage and it only asks...
An hour at most.
Last four.
Hey, Tim, aren't those also referred to as the traveler's marriages, and they're prolific when they are making the trek to Mecca?
Yeah, I believe that's the case, yeah. But I don't think a talak is required in order to dissolve
No,
them.
I don't believe it is. No, because what you're referring to is temporary marriage,
yeah,
and that's
right.
Allowed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's a mutah marriage. That's what they call mutah marriage, isn't it? Temporary marriage. So that they can have their evil ways, and then they can
it's legalized prostitution. Yeah, any Muslim that tells you that prostitution doesn't exist in Islam, you have to take it with a pinch of salt, because they do it under another arrangement. They take a girl for a predetermined length of time. They call it a marriage, and then at the end of the time, money exchanges hands, and the girl goes on her way. And it's prostitution by another name, but Muslims will say, "Oh no,
well,
no,
and
that's
and
not
they put it under religious perspective as well, haven't
exactly.
they, Tim? That's
exactly,
what they've done as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's a few some of the finer, degradable points, should we say, about some of the issues that's involved with Islam. We do like to, to educate a few people on some of the finer, some of the points that we discuss on the show. So we like to actually, explore certain things that that we might be discussing. But it's all very interesting, and people wasn't too sure about things. That's what I'm saying. You can always tune in to us, and we speak about these things week in, week out, don't we, guys? Different aspects. So if you want to get edumacated like we is, look at me,
edumacated
like
yeah,
we
I was just double checking, and apparently it's Nikar Mutar, not Mutar Nikar. I always get those two mixed up, and it's fixed term or short term marriage. But yeah, everything is agreed in advance, and it's just like a private arrangement. It no different from prostitution in the Western sense. But yes, that's absolutely right.
I've just got my book, Robert Spencer's book. Is not Robert Spencer. Who's this one by? Can't really pronounce that name. It's all about our debate in Islam with Muslims. I've just flicked over to the page about its references to paedophilia. And what it says here is that a Muslim man can have sex with a young girl if, over a period of at least 6 months, recurrent intense sexually arousing fantasies, sexual urges or behaviours involving sexual activity with a pubescent child or children, generally aged 13 years or younger, or the person has acted on these sexual urges, or the sexual urges or fantasies cause marked distress or impersonal difficulty, or the person is at least 16 years of age and at least 5 years older than the child or the children.
Well, there you
go.
So
what that basically means is that they have to be at least over 5 years younger, and they have to have an actual sexual desire, have sexual fantasies before they actually act on it. So basically, when you see him driving around in these cars, following these young lasses for weeks on end, that's and after so much amount of time, that's when they actually strike on these young lasses.
Yeah. Well, that. Thank you, Tommy, for that clarifying.
Saying that, where did I put Robert Spencer's book? I thought it was next to me. I'll have to look for this after the show now. Where's it gone?
I was going to say, guys, if it's okay, Kel, I was going to say I probably need to take a break. I was wondering if we got something that we can play just for a couple of minutes or so till I recall back in, please.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask you if you're ready for your break. And just to let you know that I put a couple of links about Muta or temporary marriage in the chat room, and I put a link in about Meister marriage as well for the listeners.
Yeah, please.
And those joining us in the chat room.
Got some great links there. If you want to follow up, please do. As I say, it's always nice to be educated on some of these aspects of Islam, and that's what we do. We're exploring it tonight. And when we come back after the break, maybe we can continue. But there was a story that Kel was relaying that we talked about on a previous show, and we will be revisiting that story probably after we come back from the break. So, who's giggling? Who's giggling? Put your hand up.
I
want to see you.
I have to disconnect my Skype, so I have to call back in as well. So basically, I'll just echo what Jeff said.
Everybody's got to call back in. Okay, you know what?
Kel, just before you go to the break, I just want to say, just basically echo what Jeff said. If you don't listen to the East Anglian EDL radio show, you might as well be a Muslim.
Very true.
And if you are a Muslim, please listen, because you might not even quite understand how bad it really is that you're involved in this horrible cult, and you might not realise. So if you listen to what we've got to say, maybe it might make you think a little bit more about what we talk about. So, and that's because, there'd be glad to be a few Muslims that listen, that maybe want to just see what we're on about.
Hi,
and, yeah, we might get anal chowdery listening. You don't know. You never know.
You never know who the guests are.
Never
that's
know.
Absolutely true.
Oh,
okay.
But with that,
well,
I'm going to pass it back
Tommy
to
and
Kel.
Jeff. Hang up and call back in. Hurry, hurry.
Okay. I'll be back in a minute. Thank you, Kel. Over to you, Kel.
We'll see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
Ah! toast, ladies and gentlemen. I give you a toast, ladies and gentlemen. May this fair land we love so well in dignity and freedom dwell. The world may change and go awry, while there is still one voice to cry. There'll always be an England while there's a country lane. Wherever there's a cottage small, beside a field of grain, there'll always be an England while there's a busy street. Wherever there's a turning wheel, a million marching feet. Red, white and blue, what does it mean to you? Surely you're proud, shouted aloud, Britain's away. The empire too, we can depend on you. Freedom remains, these are the chains nothing can break. There'll always be an England, and England shall be free. If England means as much to you as England means to me.
If you are sick and tired of listening to the lies you hear from politicians and the mainstream media about Islam, and you want to hear the truth about the crimes that are committed in its name in your country and all around the world, then please tune in to the East Anglian EDL radio show on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 GMT and 3:30 EDT. For analysis, updates and news about Islam without any of the lies and political correctness that you hear in the mainstream media, and for updates, news and information about the English Defence League, then come and join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to all our previous broadcasts at any time by visiting the East Anglian EDL Radio Show archive. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show, the official radio show of the English Defence League.
Welcome back, everybody. Is Tommy back yet? Danby's back. I see we got...
We're working on getting Tommy back.
Okay, Kel. Thank you for that. I, I was singing along to that and I've forgotten it. I'm glad somebody muted me. Thank goodness for that.
Oh, there's nothing like a host singing along in time. Well, 3 seconds behind when you're trying to enjoy yourself.
I didn't mute you because of that, because believe me, Jeff, everybody loves to hear you singing along. I muted you at the very tail end of that so that I could get the commercial in so that you didn't come back on the air and go, well, there you go. Wasn't that a great tune? Before I could play the commercial.
Yeah, I tell you, we absolutely love it round here, Jeff. All up and down the road, people are throwing open their front windows and shouting to each other, have you heard that singing?
He's singing down the road. And that's our Jeff of the EDL, and he's singing down the road.
You know, Tommy's got a clip of me. Because who is it? A friend of mine who was one of our angels had caught me unawares, and I was singing. I think that was at Birmingham, actually, going back a couple of years ago now, and it quickly went right across the internet. Everybody saw it, and Tommy played it.
I have seen that. You're standing there and you're singing, and you realize that you're being filmed, and you turn to the person filming you, and you point out your finger at them and laugh. Yeah, I love that one.
I'm going England till I die. I'm England till I die. I'm sure I am. I'm England till I die.
I'm going to have to dig that one up again.
Oh, God. Now, Tommy probably do it. You know, but, yeah, there you go. I do enjoy it. You know, I also love singing. And that sort of, when at the beginning of the show, when I hear that tune, I just want to join in. So I unmute myself. And I didn't think anybody could hear me over the top of the tune. But there was a delay, wasn't there? So there's it sounds a bit a bit funny, I suppose.
We're going to do a follow-up in a moment, but you do have another caller who's had his hand raised for quite a while, and that's 4655. I'm wondering if you would like to bring him on.
I most certainly would. Yeah, listener 4655, you are live on the East Anglian's EDL radio show. It's great to have you here. Go ahead.
I think that's me. It's Frank. Is that?
Hello,
Frank.
Hey, boy. Hey,
all right, mate. Yeah,
hello, mate. How are you?
Oh, pottering on, still with it.
Good on you, bruv. Yeah. Good on you. I didn't recognise the phone. I normally know it's your friend. I didn't recognise the phone number. Maybe it just wasn't with it for that second. But it's good to have you.
Usually Kel screens me, doesn't she? Usually Kel calls in early.
You know what, Frank? It's to the point where I don't even bother anymore. I know it's you.
Okay. Fair enough. Right, well, look, what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, the reason I'm phoning in particular, I mean, I've been listening to all this and my pee's been boiling again, but I'd like to come in with a little bit of on a lighter note. Now, I've just got a letter this morning. It was nicely handwritten. The envelope with the address was handwritten. But this is a printed letter, and I'd like to read it to everybody because it matters to everybody, I think. It says, Taunton, Somerset, Monday, 6th of January, 2014. Dear Frank Day, Sergeant Alexander Blackmore, brackets Marine A, I am writing to thank you for your kind message of support. The cards and letters that we have received during this difficult time has given us all a great deal of comfort and strength. On behalf of Al and all of his family, I would like to say a sincere thank you. Thank you also for the generous heart. We have been overwhelmed by your thoughtfulness and kindness. Your donation will help to support Al and his family with visits and other expenses at this time, as well as provide extended support on Al's release. To ensure the appropriate management of these donations, the money will be paid into a specific fund that has been set up to support Al by the Royal Marines Association. This fund is overseen by the Royal Marines Charitable Trust Fund to ensure its secure and appropriate use. The family has full access to the funds and hopes that you will understand this decision. The public support is incredibly important to us as we are prepared to appeal the sentence. We're asking everyone to sign the e-petition on the government website calling for the immediate release of Marine A. And it's where you can do this again on catch up. It's epetitions.direct.gov.uk/petitions/56810. We need 100,000 signatures before the matter can be raised in Parliament. Thank you if you have already signed the petition. The family is keen to maintain some privacy while we try and adjust to what has happened. But we now truly recognise the public interest in this case and the value of your support. We have therefore set up a website that will update regularly with messages and information, as I'm sure you will understand that we are regrettably unable to continue to respond to individual messages. Please visit the website at supportmarinea.com. Thank you again for your support. With all good wishes, Claire Blackman.
Oh.
Wife of Alexander.
What can we say about that? My goodness me, that is so, so good to hear that. Sorry, Frank, what?
We're getting there. Keep it up.
We certainly are. And ladies and gentlemen, if you just listen to what Frank was saying, and you want to send your support, there is a website now that's... can you repeat that once again, Frank? So, you know, because there's people, maybe they're just writing it down and, you know, so if you just repeat it again...
Yeah, I was in the middle of writing it down.
If you've got a pen and paper, Andy, I hope you have by now. I'll read it out again, yeah?
Now, yes, please, buddy.
The petition is... HTTP and all that. E-petitions,
yep.
All small case, epetitions.direct.gov.uk/petitions/56810. Yeah.
There you go. And the website, please, Frank. One more time for
the
people.
Well, I've just tried to link that, and I'm getting a load of adverts. It's being smothered already. I got straight to it when I got this letter, but already this evening, it's just been smothered in adverts, but you've got to keep trying. It's www.supportmarinea.com. That's
okay.
supportmarinea.com.
There you go, guys. Please visit the website. And, of course, if you haven't signed a petition, please do so. Your support is so important. You hear from Claire, from his wife, exactly the support and you know, how it lifts their spirits, how it lifts their husband's spirits and that. So please continue to do what you're doing. And hopefully we'll get them 100,000 signatures. Come on, guys, you know, get your act together, talk to your friends, get them all to sign it, and let's get this being answered in the House of Lords. And we can do it, guys. We can do this. It's so important.
Yeah, I've got something I'd like to read as well. I've just got a text from my granddad now. He wants me to read this out for you. Hi, Tommy. Lovely to listen to the show for the first time. Sorry, not feeling very well, so I have to clock off early so your grandma might listen to the rest of it. Love the show. Love to see patriotism never die in 1945. Also, the young lady on the show, I can tell she's of Canadian descent. Please tell her I had the honour of fighting alongside Canadian soldiers from 1939 to 1945. Truly a great force, and truly a force to be reckoned with. The Islamists won't know what hit them when the Canadians get involved. Looking forward to the next show. Take care. Stay safe. Love, Grandad.
Oh, wow. That is so nice. Oh, bless it. Bless your granddad. And it's really nice to know that your nan and your granddad
Tommy,
are both
thank you for
to
that.
Oh, it says to me, you better read it out. You better tell her.
There you go,
oh,
Shel.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
In case you're wondering, guys, my granddad is in his late 80s. So.
Oh, bless him. He's a grand chap as well. And what can I say? One day, Tommy, you never know. We might have him on the show, might we, eh? Might
definitely
him on the show, maybe.
One day.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'd be lovely to hear.
Can tell you.
That would be wonderful.
He
that
told
would be
me
wonderful.
Loads of stories. He once shared a cigar with Winston Churchill in the middle of 1940.
No, really?
He loved that story. Yeah, I could say this story. He said to me when he got posted back from North Africa for his 2 weeks leave, and he went to go see who was currently dating in secret, because back then his parents and her parents never allowed such a union and all that. So he said when he got posted to Manston Airfield, and Churchill was doing his run of the southeastern airfields, and Churchill came along and he goes up to me grand and he goes, "What are you doing sat down, son? Don't you know there's a war on?" So apparently he took the attention of his grand, was probably about 18, 19 years old. So he goes, "I was just having a rest, Prime Minister." He goes, "Rest? The Nazis are just only 5 miles away. What are you resting for?" So then, obviously, my granddad said to Mr. Churchill, "Oh, but I was a bit tired." And he goes, "Okay, then, so you're tired, eh? But the Germans aren't tired. And what would you do if a Nazi tank just came up right now? Would you look at them and say, 'I'm tired, I can't do anything'?" And he goes, "I'm sorry." So then Churchill said to him, Have a drag of this cigar and it'll give you your energy." So he had this drag of this cigar and Churchill patted him on the shoulder and went, "Keep up the good work, son," and went off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a story, Chell. What about that, Tim? What a great story. Having a drag of this, Sir Winston Churchill's cigar, my goodness me. That's a fantastic story. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed, because that's the first time I've heard Tommy actually say about that. And that was a great, great letter that your granddad wrote about the show as well. It's really, really appreciated.
They went back to Brighton today because they had the journey postponed for another week, so they wanted to spend another week up here. I know my great-grandma, but she proper worries about me, and she knows the situation. So I have to ring her every time I come back from a demo. And basically, guys, this afternoon when I was walking on my lunch break today, they was on the way back, so I said, I'll come meet you at the station. And a new local charity has just been set up to combat anti-Islamic hate crimes in the local city of Hull. So basically, we was walking down the city centre, and one of them came running up to us with this little petition saying, "Oh, we just need some bank details to set up a direct debit." He goes, "Oh, what's this for then?" So he goes, "Oh, it's to combat all the anti-Muslim hate crimes, to stop all these Muslims living homeless on the streets of Hull." So my granddad goes, "Oh, well, aren't there any prisons?" And he goes, "Oh, well, yeah, there's no shortage of those." He goes, "Oh, well, but they've got plenty of space going, haven't they? Can't just put them in there because they're going to end up there anyway."
Oh, I love it.
I'll tell you something, guys. My granddad, he's one of the most inspirational people in my life. He really is. I love him.
Oh, Tommy. Can you please direct me on where I can send him a bouquet of flowers? What a beautiful thing.
He's just got a computer today, so he's going to get all these emails and that set up.
There you go.
I'm trying to get him on Facebook, but he said Facebook's not his thing. He said all he wants to do is just keep in touch with his brother, my great uncle, who lives in Kent. So I think that's probably why he wants it, really. But, my great-granddad, you pick a front in World War II in Europe, and he fought it.
God bless him. We often talk about, people, fought in the wars and the stories that Tommy told, but as you say, he's one of the great veterans. Tommy's grandfather fought some quite serious he had some serious campaigns your grandfather fought in, didn't he?
Yeah,
so I mean, God bless him, he come through
it. France, when it kicked off and it was in Belgium, he said they used to drill every single day, and because nothing happened for the first couple of months, he was thinking, well, is there actually a war on? He said, I'll never forget the time when he was in that field in Belgium and he saw just a whole stream of German tanks coming over, and he thought, he said, I'll never forget how scared he was, because that was the very first time he actually saw the enemy.
I bet your granddad said to himself, bugger this for a game of soldiers. I bet that's what he thought at the time.
Well,
children bleeding tanks coming over the hill.
Because his dad fought in the First World War, he said, it's a lot different now because he thought they would start digging trenches, but when he just saw them all riding on the back of these tanks in these half tracks, he thought, oh, God, they knew they were completely unprepared for it. But Dunkirk, he won't speak about as openly as he will everything else. And basically, when you look at Dunkirk, I don't blame him, to be honest, because he said he started off on that with about 76 in his platoon, and 15 came back.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the thing about it is it lives with you, because a lot of the people who didn't come back was friends and colleagues of his, and his friends in arms and that, and that's the thing. I mean, Dunkirk, it was us taking a back step, wasn't it, to regroup. That's what we basically did.
That
regrouped.
We
had no choice.
The sad thing about Dunkirk is when you look at how many people was on the beach, and when you look at the documentaries as well, he said to me a couple of years ago, and he was telling me about it, he said, if you could just imagine lying on a beach with no weapons, knowing that the enemy's about 10 miles away, and you've got German planes coming over you every second that are bombing you, strafing you.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He said that the amount of... He said because the Navy couldn't commit as much ships as they could have, he said the patriotism in all the English people who just sent rowing boats over, just got in a rowing boat and went over.
That was the story. There was people come from all walks of life. They had a boat and they was bringing it over the channel, wasn't they, Tommy? And God bless them all who took part in that, because it saved a lot of our soldiers' lives. God bless them all.
Pearson did not die in 1945, and Kelly will tell you he once dated one of the Canadian soldiers who came over, one of the people who volunteered from Canada who came over. But he spoke very fondly of the Canadian soldiers. And apparently,
we were right there from the very beginning, because, of course, back then World War II, we were a sovereign of the British Empire. And when England declared war on Germany, Canada, of course, was immediately involved right away. We were right there. Yeah. As soon as England declared war, Canadian troops went right over right away. And my grandfather was stationed in England, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he spoke very fondly of Canadian soldiers. Apparently, a couple of them helped conceal the relationship he had with my grandma. But this is a beautiful story about the way how my grandma and granddad met me. My grandma was in the Women's Volunteer Service, and she was posted down south. And that's how they met. And they got married at bang on 5 o'clock in the morning on the 6th of June 1944. And he said about half an hour later, he was on his boat back to Normandy to basically open up the second front. So he said this to me today, I'll tell you something, Tommy, I didn't have my wedding night till bloody middle of 1946.
Oh, bless him. Oh, bless your granddad. You know what, Tommy? You must have your grandfather on the show. I think it would be fantastic to listen to an old veteran.
I'll have to see what I can organise with him. I know my grandma, she's up to a couple. She could tell you some stories.
Oh, I bet she can as well. Yeah, well, as I say, he's got an open invitation, Tommy. You tell your granddad, tonight. Bless him. You know, and serving his country as so well as he did. God bless everybody that took part in the campaign back then. All of our military.
Yeah,
and it's great to hear stories from his grandson telling the stories.
I remember when I was little, sitting on my granddad's lap for hours just listening to him. But the one thing that does upset him is that he was the oldest of six, and he was the only one out of his family to survive.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a tragic. One was shot down 1942 over North Africa, and the other one was actually the youngest, who was just gonna get his conscription papers when bloody doodlebug landed on the house in East London.
Oh no. Oh dear, wow. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's absolutely horrific. We hear all these stories, but not from someone, you know, who's got close connections with it, like your grandfather and yourself, Tom. But thanks for sharing some of the things tonight on the show, and of course of our listeners out there.
He said he never regrets his life. He said he'll never forget World War II. So he said it's something that shouldn't be forgotten. Because when you look at how close we came to speaking German now is unbelievable. Because he said back then, the only person that kept him going was Churchill, because he said when he got back from Britain, he was expecting the whole nation to be like completely rare, just expecting it. But he said when he came back, he actually went to Ipswich, where he's met up with his platoon chef. He actually went to Ipswich.
Really?
Wow!
He'll never forget it. When he came back on the back of the van, and there was all a bit demoralised, all the... still a bit wet, still a bit bandaged up, but he said everybody came out from all over East Anglia just to clap them and cheer them, chucking flowers at them. And he said to me back then when you came back from the battle, everybody just chucked flowers at you, but these days you get one side that do the same, you get the other side who tell you that you're a murderer and you're a baby killer.
Yeah, well, we get that from these Islamic little scumbags, but... I think, as you know, a lot of people go to a lot of when the soldiers return in, and they know, you know, our hearts are with them, and when they come back, but we're always going to get little scumbags like that. You know, they should bring a law to stop them.
Yeah, well,
he
always says this to me. I give him a call every couple of days to see how they are. He calls us the 21st century version of the Home Guard.
Bless him. Oh, that is great. Tom,
and I says, yeah, but Grandad, we don't have any weapons. And he goes, you do, Tom, you do have a weapon. Your weapon is knowledge.
What can you say about that? That's so true. The knowledge, and we've all said that. Be armed with knowledge. Know thine enemy. And you can't go too far wrong. And speak the truth always, as we do.
Absolutely. I've been sitting here quietly listening to this, and I haven't said a great deal because I think it's such a touching story, and I think Tommy tells it so well. Your granddad's absolutely right. We do have a great weapon in this war, because this is not a war that was fought in the same way as the war was when your granddad was fighting, obviously, Tommy, and my grandfather and my uncle as well, my great uncle who was killed in the First World War, they fought wars in a very different way. But the war we're fighting is just as important. And all right, we don't have guns, but we've got something that's just as good, and that is the knowledge. And not only that, but we've got the means to disseminate that knowledge that our forefathers never had. If you were looking at how best to fight this war, then knowledge is the first tool that you need, and the ability to disseminate it is the second tool, and we've got both those things. So I think we've got everything going for us. So when you next see your granddad, give him my best regards, and you just tell him that
I'm going down there, because all the way in Brighton, so I think it's April I'm going down there for a weekend to go see him. But, my great-grandma, she's a bit of a head case, because she's always saying, because with my granddad, I think it's really inspirational to me, because he did say to me, oh, I'll tell you something, Tommy, I did have the pleasure of meeting Muslims in World War II, but they were shooting at me.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Oh, he should feel right at home then.
Oh, do you know what, it's funny you should mention that, because she did say that to me a couple of years ago. She said, back in this day and age, it feels no different.
We understand that. Yeah. But my goodness me, what a great story. Thanks for sharing that with us this evening, Tom.
To end up, my great-grandma, she was in the WVS, and basically she spent 6 years just pushing around those little things on the board, say, when the raids were coming over.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, she did that for 6 years, and she said, she used to say, oh, Tommy, I'll tell you something after that. Well, our married time was more mussy than your granddad's.
Was your grandma known as, like, one of, was it Len girl that used to be called as Len? You know, used to do a lot of work than Len to do.
The farm, what she used to do, she used to sit at Biggin Hill, pushing around those little tags on the bar, on the board saying, you know, like, you know, you ever seen
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean now.
When you see them all, like,
very, very important job that was. And it, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, the thing about it is the ladies, you know, back then played such a big part in our campaign, you know, in the World War. You know, it was just amazing. It was all hands to the pump, wasn't it, guys? All hands to the pump. And my goodness me,
our sisters used to do the... you know, making. I think so. Their older sister used to do all the sewing for the uniforms, and the second oldest used to work in one of the aircraft factories. Yeah, she made Spitfires for 6 years, and my great auntie, well, my great grandma was pushing around the board, and she said she'll never forget the 12th of August 1940 when Biggin Hill first got hit. She never felt so scared, and I was actually shouting for my granddad, and he was over to Brook to start off with.
Wow. Yeah, as I say, Biggin Hill, I mean, that's where my son lives now. He lives right, very close to the airfield itself, Tom. So it's not quite as busy as it used to be. We still had the air shows there, but it's been a bit quiet the last couple of years. Maybe they bring back some of those old shows.
Yeah, World War II didn't get taught in schools anymore. Neither does the First World War. And I think when you look at the First World War, especially, like you said, Tim, you sadly lost your great-uncle. You had 16-year-olds lying about their ages just to go fight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
You had 15-year-olds going saying... Because, I mean, I have seen the... it's like when you watch the film Passchendaele, when you see them all at the recruiting office in Kent, and you see all the teenagers go, how old are you? I'm 19. Okay, here's your papers.
Anyway, Tommy, as I say, we better start moving a little bit. But thank you so much, and give your grandfather and your grandmother
I'll send him a text tomorrow because I don't want to wake up if he's not feeling too good at the minute.
No, if he's not well, Tom, just send it tomorrow or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
But once again, thank you, Tommy. But we want you to move along because there's a story that we covered a while ago, and there's some new things that's come to light. So with that, I'm going to move over to Kel. Moving me chair. There, Kel, take your seat. and pass it over
to Kel. Can I sit in the little chair beside
you?
No,
you can't sit on my knee,
yeah.
Kel.
Hang on. I'll just kick the cap off.
That's why I moved my little chair over so I could.
There goes me cat.
Do that.
Yeah, that's because that cat's shutting
down.
Oh God,
Jeff is going to be going here, Cal. Here, Cal.
But anyway, we're having too much fun. But let's get back to,
you can never have too
let's
much
get back
fun,
to yeah. some serious stuff. Now, that we did discuss the story. Maybe, Kelly, you'd like to just retrace what we spoke about while ago.
Yeah.
But we
sure,
said we
Jeff,
would come back
sure,
to
Sure, Jeff and Tommy, absolutely. And this involves this young lady. Her name is Naomi Oni. She's 21 years old. If you're a regular listener to the East Anglian CDL radio show, you know that we covered this story. When she was initially attacked, she did not know what was coming after her. She was acid tested or acid attacked, and
she
was left with very devastating injuries. She's survived, and she's recovering. I was speaking with Jeff about this just the other day. The attacker was a burqa-clad person, and she could not understand why a Muslim, and I'm using air quotes here, ladies and gentlemen, air quotes, she could not understand why a Muslim would want to attack her. She was an employee at Victoria's Secret. She was coming home from work. She was on the tube. She was on her street, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, here came the acid attack. It has now been discovered that it was not a Muslim involved at all, but one of her childhood friends by the name of Mary Coyne, who is also 21 years old. She has she was captured on CCTV, and she was using a niqab to hide her identity, and she followed Naomi home. The reason why Naomi was acid attacked by this person, who was supposedly her best friend for many, many years, is that she was jealous of her looks. Now, there are issues between these two people in their friendship, in that they vied for who was best beauty, as it were. Naomi, as young ladies do, and we have all done it, is that Coyne was rather self-conscious about something regarding her appearance, and Naomi was teasing her about it. What they would also do, too, is that they would always refer to ugly people as a character out of a Freddy Krueger movie, and that there was a horror character figure in the Freddy Krueger movies. And I'm just scrolling down, Jeff, to get the exact quote of what that is. But all the same, they were friends, and they were young, and they had their little Donnybrooks, which is, you know, understandable amongst the young folk, as it were. But this Coyne person, she posted videos on her Facebook page showing Naomi before and after, and who is the ugly now. So she was caught. Mm. The thing is that this had nothing to do with Islam, and unbeknownst to Naomi Oni, who at the time thought it was, because, of course, her friend was dressed up in the niqab. So, of course, automatic reaction would be this was an Islamic attack, which it turned out not to be. It turned out that the friend had disguised herself as a Muslima and attacked Naomi. It was all based down to jealousy, because Naomi, as we know when we look at the before pictures, is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, and despite her devastating injuries and her devastating scars, I still think she's beautiful. But this person was mentally unstable and did this and ruined a young woman's life. And I was talking with Jeff about this, and I said to Jeff, I said, hey, Jeff, you know what? What's going to happen now is that the Muslims are going to come out and they're going to act the victim once again. See what happens? Yeah, blame the Muslims, blame the Muslims. And Jeff, your point you brought up was brilliant. If you're going to dress in hefty bags in the first place, I love that. And those are my words, ladies and gentlemen, not Jeff. But Jeff, you made a really good point in that you said, if they insist on walking around covered up from head to toe, then if these crimes are committed, they really cannot cry foul, because they perpetuate, in a sense, in the way that they dress. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my
whole point. And that was it. You know, we did speak about it before we thought we'd bring it up on the show, and we do like to have a little cross discussion about it. And that was my feeling, that if you want to dress that way, cover yourself up, and you look like a giant bin bag, and then sort of things like this happen. Well, I'm sorry, but it does look like that. Sometimes it looks like, you know, you see a mother, like she's got a couple of little ones real dressed up like that. It looks like the rubbish has been put on the street, and they're waiting for the dustman to come. You know what I mean? But Well,
oh, God.
Maybe I'm a bit derogatory, but that's the case. They look like bloody big bin bags or little bin bags.
Have you seen the picture someone put on Facebook of the Muslims sat down in the full veil, and the fella just putting the letter through?
Yes. Yeah. But the point being is all the time, and then they say, oh, we're innocent victims. Well, look, if you did dress like that, and you're going to get things like this happen, and of course not being able to see who's doing it, of course you're going to think they're dressed in a niqab and a full veil, can't see the eyes or the face, whatever. Of course you're going to think, because that is their fight, this is Muslims for you, and of course this is another way that we say that they should ban these outfits, because, and if we've heard of bank crimes, post office things where the people walk in, dressed in all this this gear of theirs, and do a robbery, and some of them even, I think they've nearly got away, but I think they've been caught on a couple of games. But it just shows you that not only that, it's national security. You've got to look at it in that way. And so what? You know, they want to dress this way. They can do things. And people, the criminals out there, have caught on. They've caught on. People want to do crime. They think, well, if I dress up like that, they're going to think I'm a Muslim. They're going to point in that way. And so, of course, this is what I'm saying. It's the whole implications beyond the way they dress. And I still believe they should ban the burqa, ban the bloody niqab, the lot, because people should be able to see people, you know, look at people in the eyes, this, that, and the other. That's my own personal view, though. But I do believe there's a great implications and a national security problem that we have with that thing. So, maybe some of our panelists would like to maybe pull it out a little bit further. Or
yeah, I'll do that for you, Jeff. Well, I mean, first of all, I'd like to second everything Jeff is saying on that. There are certainly instances where national security is at risk, and there's the obvious things where if you're in a bank or in a sensitive building where it's important to have your identity shown, that's also a big issue. But I think more at the root of the problem is the whole way in which we as citizens of this country interact with each other. There's a certain level of trust that we have between ourselves as indigenous English people, which is compromised when you are faced with somebody who has the audacity to wear something like a burqa or a niqab in public. They may well tell you that it's an expression of their religious belief, but in fact it isn't true at all. There's no religious requirement for them to wear a burqa or a niqab. As far as Islam is concerned, the only request is that, or instruction is that women should be modestly dressed. There's no requirement for them to hide 99% of their face behind a burqa or a niqab at all. But you lose a great deal of trust, and that's fundamental to the way in which we interact with each other.
Aren't they making a false statement when they dress this way, Tim? Would you say
they are indeed?
They're
making a statement as well, saying we are separate from you, and the implication is we're not only separate from you, but we're better from you, better than
exactly,
you, and we have no intention of integrating or assimilating with you, and we dare you to do something about it. And that puts a barrier up straight away. So not only do you not know who you're dealing with, but you know that the person behind that has already made a statement to say there is going to be no interaction between us. We don't want anything to do with you. And
well,
that is not...
Because we are the infidel, the kuffar.
Despite whatever people like David Cameron and Nick Clegg might say, this is not the way forward for community cohesion. And that's why we should ban the whole concept.
It's intimidating to see it in public.
Yeah,
it is intimidating.
It is intimidating.
I mean, can I walk down the street in my balaclava and say it's part of my religion to cover my face?
You've
got to take it off, Section 60, mate.
If you do, people will look at you and they'll think you're a bit odd. But if you go into a bank with it on, or if you go into a public building and you want to be served by somebody in a public capacity, you're going to have great difficulty. But of course, people who are dressed in the burqa and niqab, they've made it appear that this is a normal state of affairs, and we're expected to accept it, which puts us as the indigenous British people at a great disadvantage.
We should ban it
purely on those aspects alone.
Well, what you can never forget is that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that only the husband is allowed to see the face, and that if you're actually caught in these very strict Sharia state-run countries, if a woman actually shows her face in public, she's open to be raped, things like that. And basically, in this country, there's no need for it, because we have laws to protect women to stop them from getting raped. But, oh, no, no, it's Islamic law, we have to do it. It's all man-made law. So basically, you're saying rape is okay. Well, it is, because in the Quran it stays quite clear we can take whatever our right hand possesses. You can't have two laws running alongside side to each other. Otherwise, you're going to let the commies have their law. You're going to let the neo-Nazis have their law running alongside in this country. It just doesn't work. It has to be one law for everybody. You can't have two separate laws running alongside each other. Like, these should be law courts. There's no need for them. Go to a British court.
Well, it's not only that there's no need for them, but as you say, they're going to cause a great deal of trouble if you have two parallel law systems running side by side. Now, some people will say, well, what about the Jewish Beth Din courts and so on? But, I mean, it's one thing to say you can have a private agreement between people of your own culture if you don't wish to involve the wider community or the laws that the wider community abide by. But it's quite another thing to say that you're going to have a completely parallel legal system which is going to put half your community at a disadvantage, or more than half really, if you say that women can only inherit half of what a man can inherit, or that a woman has less influence in divorce cases or child custody cases.
Is it not playing the Quran that women are actually just made for men?
Sorry, what's that, Tommy?
Does it not say in the Quran that women have half the intelligence of a woman? Now look at Kel, sophisticated, cultured, very well educated.
Very careful.
Oh my God.
I'm being serious. Look at Kel. Let's use Kel as an example. And we use Sue and Poppy as well, and Luchadora. Cultured, sophisticated, very well educated.
Confucius, he say, when in holes, stop digging.
I was going to say, we've got something else we must discuss, because me and Kel had a bit of fun doing this the other day. So I'll tell you what, some of the things we've been talking about tonight, maybe we can move forward for tomorrow, or maybe it'd be better to move it forward on one of our live shows. But Kel and myself, we was discussing, I was talking to Kel about the word Akbar. You know when they go, "Allah Akbar." This is funny. But the meaning of the word Akbar, ladies and gentlemen, just don't take my word for it, but look it up, and I know Kel did. I was told by one of my Jewish friends that Akbar really means, in Hebrew, old Hebrew, a rodent or a mouse. So this is something we can...
Yes, it's hilarious. It's great.
Jeff and I,
we could barely contain ourselves, because we were both, here I am on my end, and there's Jeff on his end, and we're both madly Googling,
hey,
and we're coming up with things. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go up above the chat room and go to the slides that are in there, you're going to see exactly what Akbar looks like. But this was hilarious.
I just thought something incredibly ironic. Now, these Muslims go through all their lives saying how great God is, how great their God is and all that. And yet again, these suicide bombers, their last words is, "God is a rat."
That's right, Tommy. But Tom, you've got to listen to this, because Kel's been very busy putting this together. So guys, all our listeners out there, enjoy this. You're going to have a bit of fun with this. Kel, over to you.
It's just a tiny little clip. I did the Audacity thing after I spoke with Jeff. I was just over the moon. Like, really? Akbar means a mouse or a rodent or a rat in Hebrew. So, of course, I got myself, on the busy side. And, guys, here we go.
Allahu Akbar!
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
I was going to say, that sounds like the end clip of Full Metal Jacket. I don't know if you've ever seen that film, but that's exactly what
I've seen.
The US Marines sing as they work their way through this desolated landscape in Vietnam City, and they're singing
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
You mean Ho Chi Minh City?
I'm not sure which city it is.
There's no city in Vietnam called Vietnam City. It's Ho Chi Minh City.
No, I mean a city in Vietnam is what I meant.
Yes.
Well, thank you for the clarification, Tommy. It's always good to have you here.
Some historical aspects there, so once again. But, as I say, guys, you hear these people when they say Allahu Akbar, and all they're really saying is Allah. The mouse is great or whatever, isn't it? Allah the rat or Allah the road. And I
always thought it was Allah Stack Snack Bar, actually. And I actually named one of my Twitter accounts after him. And then when I found out it wasn't Allah Snack Bar, I was really upset.
You have a caller here, but just to let you know, we've got 10 minutes left. Do you want to take a very, very, very quick call from Independent Libertarian?
We love the callers, and so why not? We'll do a quick call here, and because we still got to do a bit of a roll call, haven't we? So, okay, yeah.
Independent, you're live. Go ahead with Jeff.
You are live on the East Anglian ZDO Radio. Go ahead, bro.
Good. How are you?
Fine thing. And you?
Doing just fine. Kelv, you may know me from my show, The Hot Seat, Left is Never Right.
Hot Seat, how are you?
Hey, Hot
I
Seat.
I am doing...
I'm no chat, brother.
I'm doing just fine. Look, it is, it's okay to disparage and kind of make fun and explain about the Muslim marriages and all that good stuff, but I really don't think that it's conducive to our position. As Jesus said, instead of telling your brother about the staff in his eye, why don't you talk about the twig that's in your own? And, Christianity being persecuted worldwide, this is no accident. It's happening for one of two reasons, or it's by one of two forces. This is either happening divinely, meaning that God is using the Islamic world as a punishing tool for what we have become, or the global elitists, and I'm talking mainly the Anglo-American Alliance, well, they read scripture too. And this scripture could be being fulfilled artificially. But you see, folks, the fault lies with us. When you point the finger of blame at someone, three fingers are pointing back. And that is very true. If we do not get back to our Judeo-Christian values, if we do not go back to the root, we're done.
I've got a very good point there. We've always said that this is we've lost our way over time, and the way that, as you say, the Christians have been persecuted around the world is a great travesty. And it seems like our people in power are turning backs on the Christians around the world.
1915, the slaughter of 1 million Christian Armenians by the Ottomans.
Yeah, that's correct.
1915,
Tommy.
Look it up, guys. Type it in. 1915, slaughtered 1 million Christian Armenians by the Ottoman Empire. Muslims.
Yep, that is,
indeed, I say.
That is true. that's a good, valid point. And this is the trouble, you see, because the way that it is with the way that the politicians, the people in power at this moment in time are conducting business, it does seem that we've often said it, we do live in these very worrying Orwellian times. We don't know which direction these power mongers, what they're trying to create for the world. I know it's not a good thing, and so do you. I think most of us know that sometimes you've got to say, no, we can't continue this down this way. And I do believe, and we've all said that we need to get back to our Christian Judaism, the way that things has been run for a very long time. It's sadly lacking at this moment. But as I say, in the end, it's our, the people, want to, go through their life, that they want to have, Christ in their lives and things like, to do all the good things, then basically they need to have a step back and look what's going on around the world. I mean, because there's a lot of people suffering at the hands of our enemies, and of course our politicians are turning back. In fact, they're arming our enemies. The people who sort of do these hideous crimes, they're giving them arms, they're helping them. And that's what I'm saying, we live in so strange times, don't we, guys? But as I say, it's great to take your call, and I do understand what you're saying there, and I do believe that as well. But I'm saying we're really close down
to
the line.
Maybe we always do. And we have 5 minutes left, Jeff. But here, I've got something that might make a hot seat feel a little better.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
Shut up! Oh my God, I don't care!
You see, that's what happens when you wipe your backside with sand.
No, but I do agree with the hot seat's points. So I just wanted to put a little bit of levity in there.
We can't spend our whole lives just blaming ourselves again. Those three fingers are pointing back at me. They're my fingers, and I can face them, and I know I've got my own. That's humility. You're angry when you point. And you've got three fingers pointed back, and that's your humility. And if you can face that, then you don't have to start making excuses. And to self-interest.
Actually, well said, Frank. We've got to sort of round it off now. I was going to say, Kel, if we got time for just a quick rundown before the show closes out. I've got about 4 minutes, so if we got time to do a quick rundown, because we've got some great guests.
Oh, absolutely.
In this,
we sure do. And
thank you, Kel.
And I'll make it very quick. And ladies
thank
and
you.
Gentlemen, if you have a show or a blog, please put it in the chat room for everybody to visit. But we have Bigfoot, British News, and that's Army, Dodgy Dave,
yay,
Frank, EDL. We have some guests here joining us. We have Lucha Dora, Moving Forward, Paul
Lucha.
Alexander, Reactionaries, The Hot Seat,
yay,
we just called in. Hot Seat, thank you so very much. Vorpal Bite, we've had people pop in. We've had people pop out. And, of course, we are never forgetting our Sue from New Mexico. And, of course, there is Jeff, and there is Tommy, and there is Tim, and there is myself, and I am Kel Fritzy of the Red Fox Blogger. There you go, Jeff.
Thank you, Kel. And to all our guests and, of course, people listening, wherever you might be, you can catch up with some of our archived shows. Please do. What we do, this on a Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And I think you'll find it always is entertaining. Also, we get down and we speak about the finer points of Islam. We talk about EDL, different demonstrations that's coming up, and I've got 90 seconds. I've got to thank you all for being here this evening.
No, it starts,
and
it
all
starts,
our listeners out there.
Seconds. Wait till 60 seconds, it starts.
Yeah, we have.
Take care.
And,
God bless. Take care. And what do we say? No surrender. No surrender ever.
We've
got to do this now, guys. Good night. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. Not forgetting, there's no surrender.
No,
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 no, no, no, no, no. Good night, you guys. I love you all.
Oh, God. For my same And once again, we are into archives.
Archive.
I've got an echo in here.
There is something I've just received. I probably should do it on tomorrow's show now. But for those of you who are still listening, I've just got a link on Facebook saying that basically pictures that are now on Facebook and Twitter that you take yourself on your phone and upload, they can be tracked on exactly where you've taken them.
Well, Tommy, it's a shame that we didn't speak about that because I did read something out.
I wanted to see that during the closing song because apparently if I was to take a picture on my phone right now and put it on Facebook and Twitter, then some UAF bug could actually go onto my Facebook, click on that picture and actually get my address.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think that's good information. Yeah, guys, just be very careful with what you do with pictures and that, because as we know, there's some little arseholes out there who will use it against you, you know. You know, all sorts of implications with that.
Think about this for a minute, Jeff. Just something struck me, sorry mate, but something that just struck me there. If the UAF can do that, and they've got the technology, then you can be sure the military and the government's about it for a very long time. So
my picture's going to the straight into the head of the counter-terrorism units. Apparently I'm down as an extremist.
Yeah,
but precisely.
My picture's on the counter-extremism.
Where's that? I keep trying to get a bloody fatwa, but I've still got... Nobody rises to the bait. I don't know why. Now, where is that site? I might be able to find out if I'm on it.
Well, if you go onto my Facebook, Frank, I've just put a link on now, which I've just got now about this thing, if you take a photo, you can be tracked on where you've taken it.
Right on. Well, it must have been going on for years.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah, because if you put a picture online now, it's you can get arrested. You can get done for a Facebook status. I mean, Tim. Is Tim still here?
Yeah, Tim is at the moment. I think he's just I'll get feedback here, Tom.
Yeah, I can hear it. I've got my headset on, so it's not weird from my side.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, my God. I think I've got a cold coming, guys, actually. I'll keep to me tonight. I'll keep muting myself.
Right, you hold him down, guys. I'll see you to this.
Yeah, I've just got your...
No, I think I've got a bit of a cold coming. Yeah. A couple of times during the show, I went to sneeze and I muted myself just before.
Well, yeah,
I don't know, I've got bloody feedback here.
What was about this tell mother thing, because they've decided to tweet me.
Oh.
So it's just dropped.
No, we got feedback on this, right? It's probably my end, Tom.
Yeah, well, I have to shoot anyway. I need to give Tim a call. It's probably your end then, Frank.
No, well, I can't hear it. Do you want me to call off?
Yeah. I'm dropping off anyway, so I will see you all tomorrow, Brighton.
Okay, Tom.
All right.
It's been a good show this evening. We there's been so much we talked about, and there's other things we can continue on tomorrow's show as well, isn't there? You know, so it's always nice that we can still carry on talking about different things that we discussed on the show from before. And if there's some news items that comes up that we takes priority, if you know what I mean. But Tommy, once again, thanks for being here tonight, bro, and doing all you do. We appreciate it. And you read that from your granddad. That was a great thing. So thank you so much, Tom.
No problem, guys.
Yeah, you take care. I'll see you tomorrow, bro. Okay.
Okay, guys, stay safe, not forgetting, no surrender.
No surrender ever.
And I am going off. Okay, guys, catch
up.
Bye bye, everybody.
Take care, buddy. So, there you go. Let me see. I think Kel and Tim still. What's happened there? There's just myself. There's Kel and Tim. They're having a little screen call there at the moment, so what do we do now? I'll tell you what we'll do. Sue, I can see you're here. Sue, you're here and you've raised your hand, and my goodness me, I haven't talked to you for a little while, so I'm just going to do something here and then I'm going to bring you in because I haven't spoke to you for a little while. Sue, welcome to the show. I was getting a little bit confused there because I can see Kel and I can see Tim chatting. But and then I see you raise your hand. So it's really good to have you,
hey.
You call in tonight.
Hi, Jeff. I lost you.
I know you did. We've still got Tim there.
Sorry about that. So what did I miss?
No problem. Tommy had to go. There was a little bit of feedback there. Tim's gone now. He must have shot off as well.
Here. That's right. Tim is getting ready to appear on the Audrey Russo show in the United States in 25 minutes.
Do me a favour, can you link me up to that, Kel, you know, on me Skype, on me Facebook, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. We got Sue here from New Mexico, Kel, and she called in and I spoke to her for a little while.
Hey, hi. You know, the reason I raised my hand is, you know what Tommy was saying, what's coming out here in the United States and part of the NSA, that they have been intercepting computers. I don't know if it's happening in your country, but then these are new computers before they reach the owners and also before they reach the stock. And they have now to where these spy agencies can turn on at your computer at their
yes.
will and monitor everything that you're doing. And they also, the new cell phones that are coming out, you know, I know what Tommy was saying, that they have put things in them that they can, even if you have your cell phone off, they can track you and get information from it.
Yeah. I would say one thing, they've been able to do this for quite a while with the phones, haven't they, Sue? This is how they track a lot of the, you know, these terrorists and that, with they track the phones. But the computers now, the laptop, is a little bit on the worrying side, that they can actually spy on you. This is what I call a total invasion of privacy. Now, they've gone, this is a bit too far that they've gone. They think they can switch on our computers, but willy-nilly, and spy on us. Then I think that there is a law that protects us. We've got our rights as citizens that they should not be allowed to do. And if I find anybody's been spying on me or anything, I'll make sure that as legal representative, I will want to have a case against these people who would spy on myself or to anybody, that this is an invasion of our privacy. And they're going a bit too far. If they think they can get away with that, they're wrong, because that goes against the... There is laws that protect us, you know, the privacy laws, and
well,
it's an invasion.
You know,
it's an invasion of our privacy, isn't it? Let's be honest, Sue.
In America, Obama regime is the one who's behind it in the Department of Justice, so you really can't stop it. They just came out today. There was supposed to be an independent investigation of our IRS, you know, with all the, you know, the way the abuse of the IRS with the Tea Parties and conservatives and religious groups. Well, the
yes.
Department of Justice, the one leading the investigation, is a big donor to Obama. So how much justice is going to really happen?
I know, it is, as you say, Sue, it's very worrying. I can't wait to see the back of Obama and his regime, the same as I like to see the back of David Cameron and his regime as well, because they're doing our countries, our nations, no good whatsoever in court. In fact, they're making us look weak in front of our enemies. Our enemies are lapping it up, aren't they? And as I say, this invasion privacy thing what we've been talking about, that really angers me. That really angers me that... myself or you, Sue, or Kel can be sitting there and they could be watching everything you do, you know, and this is our space, isn't it? You know, no one should be able to invade your space.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong, and I think there is legal precedence. Now, Kel, you know a bit about the law. That's an invasion of our privacy, isn't it? That's a civil liberty thing, isn't it? Something to do with, Kel?
Oh, it's an invasion, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an absolute invasion.
If I'll find
I don't want to be sitting here on the telephone talking, like, you know, with my husband. Maybe he's away on business and we're talking. We're chatting before we both go to bed at night. And, you know, we're talking about the issues of the day or anything like that. I don't want to hear Barack Hussein Obama in the background going, tell us what you're wearing.
Kel, you ask me that all the time.
I only ask if
she
you wear the leopard thong that I sent you for Christmas.
Kel, I mean,
come on, Jeff.
Sue, every time I'm on Skype, saying, she says, what you wearing?
I don't think
it's
she'd want to know.
Sue.
I really do not.
if she didn't really want to know, she wouldn't ask me all the time, would she? Am I right, Sue?
I am in so much trouble. I'm taking this episode to Audacity.
Don't worry, now we've got a master print of it, Kel. You're out there.
There you go.
But no, it's our little bit of fun and liberty. Is it the word levity?
We have a little bit of levity. Yes, we do.
There you go. That as well.
That is so much needed, though. You can't just do nothing but the bad. You've got to be able to laugh at it, too.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
so
that's one thing we've always done,
I tell
so.
You. Yeah.
We always do that, don't we, Kel, with the show?
Oh, well, we have
you know,
to because it's if you don't have a sense of humor about dealing with this stuff, you literally will lose your mind.
Yeah.
I lost it a long time ago. That's why I'll be trying to get it back.
Yeah, now just a senile. You senile old man, you.
I think it's been, Sue, what do you think the show did? I think it's been a really pretty good show this evening. We really put
it
a lot of things out
there. It went very well, as usual.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
They
you
always
know, say,
oh, man, when Tommy was talking about his grandfather, I was just like, oh, wow.
I know.
Oh,
amazing,
I love that.
Isn't it?
I love that. I might
It'd be
even,
nice if we can
have
his grandfather or his grandmother on the show. You know, it'd be nice to listen to some of the stories of some of our dear veterans who, you know, was in some of these campaigns that we the historical aspect of it. And you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to people. You know, who's a part of the campaign way back then. And as I say, Tommy's grandfather has been such an inspiration to Tommy in his life, you know, and it's quite obviously, you know, it shines through. And Tommy's probably took a bit of his grandfather on board with him with what he's been doing, you know, the last few years as well. So just goes to show you. And I think, not only that, I think Tommy, I think he's got military background. I think his great grandfather actually was in the First World War. I think he did mention before, didn't he, Kel? So he's had very much a military background. He's come from. He's so up on historical context of the some of the military the wars that he was involved with and different things that was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, could you believe it? Actually. Tom and Paul Timmer said, no, that wasn't such and such a thing. Yeah, he remembered that was in Vietnam. And he said, oh, well, that was such and such. And it's just a wealth of knowledge. It proves how much studying he's done on that, on the historical context of the military campaigns and that, doesn't it, Kel? And so it's amazing, really. You know, for such a young man with so much, you know, he's took so much on board in such a short time. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely, I know.
You know, that's...
And just to let you...
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, Sue?
No, I was going to say, that's one thing that's wrong with a lot of the youth today, and I think a lot of the youth who are turning the wrong path is they have no reverence for the elderly and to listen to them and to talk to them. The wealth of knowledge, values, you know, your morals, everything can come from them. And you see that in Tommy. And that's one thing that our youth have to get back to respecting and learning from them.
Yeah, that I would agree. And I think that's just my mind's just gone blank, Kel. Who's the gentleman who called in? And his name's gone right out of my head.
The hot seat is always right.
Yes, what he said, and it comes back to that. And yes, we have lost a little bit of that, and we do need to get back into that sort of, you know, the values, the family values, and those things which are so important for stability, and you know, for the whole of your society. And so it's been a bit sadly lacking, and that's probably why we got a lot of issues what we have. But as I say, what I'm going to count, I hope you don't, or so I hope you don't mind, but I want to listen to Tim on that other show that's going to be starting probably about 10 minutes time, isn't it, Kel? Something like that?
Yeah, that's right. And I sent you, I put the link on your Skype, I put it in your chat box, and I sent Sue the link on Twitter.
Thank you, I was going to ask you.
Oh, there
you
go. But yeah,
so Kel
and yeah,
so,
I'm
so
just waiting. I'm just waiting for Blog Talk Radio to kick us out again. But Jeff, I have a closing song.
Yeah, go ahead. And Sue, thanks for call. Oh, Sue, it's always a pleasure to take your call. Like, you know, it's and if I haven't said it before, Happy New Year to you, Sue, as well. So,
oh, Happy New Year.
Oh yeah. Oh, and Sue, everything you do for all of the Blog Talk Radio programs is instrumental. We can't thank you enough. You work so tirelessly in that you ensure that the shows are out there, they're promoted. It's because of you that a lot of these programs get such a listenership. Sue, I love you. Seriously.
Mutual things that mind to you as well, so it's that's why I was like to give you a mention, because I know you're always a busy lady.
Oh yeah.
Like Kel, you're always busy, but I'm glad that you called in tonight. Please do, you know, we got another like tomorrow night, so please call in, so, because I always love talking with you, and I know Kel does, and probably our Tim will as well. So anyway, I'm going to say good night to you both. Kel's going to play us out for the evening.
I am playing out a song, and this is just for Sue. Sue, Jeff, and I, we used to play this and goof around with it. Well, we didn't goof around with it, but once we were, and we were trying to sing along with it, Sue, and we had absolutely no luck. But it's a wonderful song, Sue. This is for you. And good night, Sue. And good night, Jeff.
Good night.
Good night, Sue. Good night, Kel.
Good night, guys.
Shall we sing?
Do you want to try to sing again?
Shall we sing? Come on, Sue, join in.
You
really
sheltered me from harm, kept me warm,
kept
me
warm.
You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free. The finest tears I ever knew. All the years I have with you, and I would give anything I own. Give up my life, my heart, my own, and I would give anything I own just to have you back again.
to talk to you. Just to hold you once again.
There you go, upbeat. We're all done and dusted.
And I can hear Sue in there.
Sue was singing along. We was having a great time.
It was great.
Okay, guys. Well, as I say, this is myself, Jeff, and Kel, and Sue. We're signing off the evening. And, guys, we'll be back again same time tomorrow. A bit earlier, but we'll be about 8 tomorrow. Good night, Sue. Good night,
Kel.
What am I like?
Good night, Jeff. And good night, Sue.
Good night, guys.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And no surrender.
And no.